say this as one who observes it and one who reads about it and tries to understand it, but of course I'm not a mother. So there's only so much that I can do and say, and I may say some things that are amiss, and if I do, please forgive me. But I'm going to try to do my best through what I've read and what I've seen to work through what we could call the blessed and bitter calling of motherhood. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 tells us, "Older women, likewise, you are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." I want to start by reading an excerpt from a book entitled The Untold Stories of Motherhood. The excerpt begins, "I am the mom that never wanted to be a mother, and I have yet to figure out what a good mother is. What does a good mother look like? What does she sound like? And how does a good mother show up in the lives of her children? Is she nurturing and loving? Is she strict and hold boundaries? Does she teach lessons or scoop up her children in a safe, protective bubble? When does she do one thing over another? When is it okay to be understanding and nurturing? And when is it okay to lay down the law and say, no, you can't do that, or no, I'm not going to do that? Is a mother the perfect chauffeur that drives her children from place to place, fulfilling all their hopes and dreams, wants and desires, while sacrificing every afternoon living in the white minivan? Is she supposed to sit on the sidelines of her children's lives while they play all the sports, attend the lessons, learn and live life to the fullest? Is a mother supposed to be the housemaid that does all the household chores so her family can live in a perfectly clean, organized, and kept home? Is she supposed to spend her days scrubbing, washing, folding, and organizing? Is she the master decorator, spending hours and hours crafting the perfect holiday decor? Is she the ultimate event planner, maintaining the social events for all her family members, hosting the barbecues and birthday parties, planning and executing all the neighborhood social events and school carnivals? Is she the community activist, the PTA mom, that makes sure her children have a voice and are safe, protected, and considered by others in their world? Is she the nurse, the social worker, the doctor, the friend? If so, when and how? I have yet to understand how one person can be all these things for another, let alone how she can be these things for more than one person." Something like that could only be shared by a mother, right? The challenges that confront you on a given basis or confronted you on a given basis. And so what we're going to be looking at this morning is the fact that God wants all people to embrace the blessed and bitter calling of motherhood. We're going to be seeing how motherhood is challenging, and there's a bitterness to this, but there's also a blessedness to this. We're going to be seeing that motherhood is overwhelming, and in this overwhelmingness, there's a blessedness and there's a bitterness. And we're also going to be looking at how motherhood is unending. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for this day that we can celebrate our mothers, that we can consider what they do in maybe a more meaningful way. And it's sad that it takes a day for us to think this way, but sometimes that's what it takes. So I pray, God, that as we dig into these truths together, that our hearts are stirred, and that we come to understand those we call mom in a more earnest and powerful way. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So first, motherhood is challenging, and there's a bitterness to this challenge. And the challenge is that raising a child in a world under the curse of sin is challenging, to say the least. Desiring to raise a child in a manner counter to our current culture borderlines the impossible. Our culture says it stands for women's rights while simultaneously steamrolling women for desiring to pursue the greatest privilege and responsibility, bringing life into this world. How beautiful is that? In a world consumed with death and decay, women can literally carry life and the future within their wombs. Our culture either balks at or inappropriately victimizes women who pursue this calling. A stay-at-home mom? Psh, how dare you pour your heart and soul into your own children? Don't you know you're better than that? Don't you know you're so much more capable? You can be anything you want to be, and you choose to be a mom? In essence, these people are saying, don't prioritize your own children. Rather, prioritize other people's children so you can make more money and provide for your own children in a richer, fuller way. They'll say, your kids need to see that you're independent, that you're capable, that you are a visible equal or better than your husband in every way, shape, or form. But when you cut through this convincing argument, what do you find? In essence, you're finding that the world says your children don't need you. They only need what you can do for them. It's no wonder why we live in an increasingly entitled generation. Many children have grown up in homes where mothers are more focused on doing and becoming than nurturing and loving. And the reality is, I could say the same thing about fathers. Although God calls fathers to provide for their family, and sometimes this manifests itself in doing things for rather than with for seasons, but that can be taken to an extreme as well, but I'll save that for Father's Day. Children need their mothers, no matter what society says. Children need their mothers' moments, not their money. They need their mothers' attention, not their ambitions. The world says, pursue a higher, greater, and grander calling. God says, I've already given you the greatest calling imaginable. Culture balks at women who pursue the calling of motherhood. Culture also wrongfully victimizes women who pursue this calling. Although it looks almost as though it looks on motherhood as though it's something to be pitied. If you're investing your life into your children, it must be because you're some victim of some great sexist injustice. Because a rationally thinking woman would never do such a thing so long as she has other ambitions. You must have grown up in a home where, gasp, your mother submitted to your father. You must be in a marriage where your husband doesn't value your input. I mean, after all, what woman in her right mind would willfully choose to spend every waking and sleeping moment tending to her children's needs? You must be so invalidated in your home, at church, and within your friend group. I pity you. When did family take a back seat to money? When did children take a back seat to stuff? What profit does a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I'm going to put a twist on it. What profit does a father gain if he gains the whole world and loses his children? What profit does a mother gain if she gains the whole world and loses her children? There is great bitterness in how challenging motherhood is in our post-Christian culture. But challenges are often twofold, aren't they? Sometimes the hardest things in life to do end up being the most rewarding. Often the greatest challenges bring with them the greatest blessings, and motherhood is certainly no exception. Mothers receive the blessing of literally giving of themselves to their children from the very moment of conception. They are blessed with seeing and feeling the baby develop within their womb. They are given the blessing of the first fluttery kick, the first elbow roll across the stomach, and the first hug. From that moment forward, they are blessed with many other firsts. The first wave, the first words, the first crawl, the first steps, and so on. The first sentence, the first scraped knee, the first day of school, the first A, the first F, the first sports game, the first heartthrob, the first heartbreak. The list goes on and on. The mom is blessed with a bond unmatched with any other, a bond that spreads across space and time, unwavering, unyielding, unforgettable, and yet always loving. The challenges of motherhood are many, but they're not all bad. Motherhood is challenging. Second, motherhood is often overwhelming. Motherhood is overwhelmingly bitter. The first stillborn child carries an unmatched weight. The regret, the questions, the anger, the frustrations, the feelings of aloneness, the never-ending numbness, all these things ebb and flow in bitter waves day in and day out. They're a reminder of how broken our world truly is. The loss of a child, the loss of a teenager, a young adult, or an adult, the ripping of your heart into eternity. The thoughts of why and the dark clouds of futility plague the soul. The aimless spiritual wandering that some mothers witness, her arthritic knees brought about from endless hours spent kneeling in front of her bed, pleading with God to save her son or her daughter. The unreturned texts, emails, and voicemails. The overwhelming fear within the heart of each mom that these things could happen to one or more of her own children. Motherhood is overwhelmingly bitter. Yet, even amid this bitterness, there can be an overwhelming sense of blessing, a peace from the Lord that somehow surpasses all human understanding and reasoning, a blessed assurance of an eternity with the miscarried baby, the stillborn, the infant, the toddler, or adolescent. A hopeful expectation that Jesus met your son or daughter in their final moments and led them near the cross, through the blood, past the empty tomb, and into the gates of heaven. That they're with him now. They're no longer experiencing the pain and suffering this world dishes out on a daily basis. They're at rest. Your paralyzed child is leaping into the arms of Christ. Your child with a cognitive ailment knows he or she as they have been fully known. The one with cancer is no longer confined to the oncology ward, but runs joyously through the golden streets of heaven. And this overwhelming blessedness, although it doesn't remove the grief, it provides the capacity to keep moving forward toward the Son and toward your child until that bright and glorious day when you see Jesus and notice someone standing next to him. Motherhood is overwhelming. And third, motherhood is unending. The bitterness of motherhood manifests itself in its unending nature. The concern doesn't stop when your child reaches 18, when they head off to college or move to another state to pursue life or move to another country to pursue life. Your care and your concern follow them. Your tender worry doesn't stop when they find the one they think they'll spend the rest of their life with, or hearing the woes of the one thinking that will never happen. Your loving care only grows when they marry, buy a house, and begin planting roots of their own. Your child may be 1, 10, 20, or 50. Age doesn't matter. You'll always be their mom, and they'll always be your baby. But they may not see things that way for a season. Maybe they want nothing to do with you. Maybe they chalk it up to how overbearing and strict you and Dad were. Or they look back at their childhood and resent the fact that you were rarely around, or at least in their minds you were rarely around. You say, I'm here now, but their hearts are crying out, you weren't here when I needed you most. Or the loss you suffered 5, 10, 15, 20, or 60 years ago still grieves your heart. Others have moved on, and at first you held this against them. You were bitter. You're like, how can you forget about that? But then as time passed, you began to realize that they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand the pain that you felt. And it wasn't their place to understand, and it wasn't their cross to bear. And so you stopped holding it against them. Even your husband, though he still grieves in his own way, seems as though he's moved on, compartmentalizing, you suppose. But not you. You still long for that relationship that never existed, that soured or fractured into a billion pieces, and you're there trying to put it back together, and it's not working. There is a severe bitterness to motherhood's unending nature. And we can't leave it there, because there is immense blessedness in its unending nature as well. You are their mom, and you always will be. That's something they'll never forget, try as they might at times. That's something that will keep your bond secure. Very few things in life can separate this bond indefinitely. And if that bond remains, there is always hope for relational renewal. There are also more blessings that accompany motherhoods and unendingness. Being able to watch your infants grow into bumbling toddlers, curious kids, know-it-all tweens, hormone-laden teens, and ambitious young adults. Not only watching, but being actively involved in their development. If motherhood had a start and stop date, one or multiple of these stages would be omitted. But even if you missed out on some of these stages due to work duties, other responsibilities, or tragedy, your motherhood doesn't end in this life. It stretches into eternity. You'll always be their mom, and they'll always be your children. Ruined relationships will be restored in heaven. Broken hearts will be mended forever. Tears of grief will be wiped away and then replaced by tears of joy. Motherhood is blessedly unending. Motherhood is a bitter and blessed calling. It may be one you never thought would come your way. It may have been a dream that you had ever since you can remember. It may not have come about in the way you had planned, and it may still be a longing in your soul. Heartache and joy, love and loss, incessant tears and uncontrollable laughter, these things will always accompany the great and holy calling of motherhood. I'd like to read another portion from that book that I cited earlier. Life as a mother is full of incredibly hard decisions. We make decisions with the information and knowledge that we have. Sometimes we make decisions through the lens of our pain, and sometimes we make them with the hope that it will all work out. There's no metric or algorithm where we can just input the data and out pops an answer. There is no way of knowing how one choice or decision will impact children now and in the future. The truth is, we are all doing the best we can with what we have at the moment. Grace is something that I didn't learn or understand prior to becoming a mother. It is now a gift that I live by and cherish. My hope is that where I fall short, grace takes over. And does that not speak directly to the heart of God? Does that not speak directly to the reality that you and I, whether you're a mother, a father, husband, wife, daughter, son, whatever it may be, does that not speak to the truth of God's grace? That where we fall short, grace takes over. And it seems as though it's most, maybe not easily accepted, but most easily seen through the eyes of a mother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our moms. We thank you for our wives who are taking care of our children or have nurtured children. And I just pray, God, that you bless them on this day, that you help them to see that their work and their labor and the many tears that they've shed and will continue to shed are not in vain. And I just pray, God, that you give the moms who are hurting on this day, be it from loss in whatever capacity, whether it be relationship or actual loss of life, I pray that you fill them with an extra measure of your grace during this season, and that you just uphold them during this time. God, we love you and we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.